With your passage open, Philippians chapter 2, let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us and being present with us already here today. What a joy to be in your presence, to know that you have given all for us, and you invite us to open our hearts fully to you. Thank you for how you are at work already in our midst. And we know, Father, that as we leave here today, there is the real potential of us being changed, renewed, empowered, and honoring you in our lives. And that's what we seek. In Jesus' name, amen. Road work ahead. Well, we've all seen the signs. We've seen lots of those signs recently around here. Here in Berrien Springs, up and down the various parts of U.S. old U.S. 31, right here in Berrien Springs itself. Then if you go up I-196 towards Grand Rapids, you will run through some road work. You'll see the signs there. You'll get into Grand Rapids and just go a little bit north towards Asabo, and you'll hit some major stuff. Exit ramps closed and on-ramps closed. And then if you go eastbound on I-94, there's incredible road construction before and right around Battle Creek, Kalamazoo area. And the other day I was up there, and the one ramp was closed, and so I got off the other, and I had to drive a while to get back on the way I wanted to go. And when I came back the other way, the on-ramp was closed. And so I wound up going back where I went to turn around before to get where I was. And so we've all experienced the detours and the delays, and it is inevitable. If you want a highway, road work will be there. There will be road work. If you want to maintain a highway, there will be road work. If you want to make a highway more safer, if you want to make a highway more useful, if you want a highway to facilitate more traffic or to keep up with the growth patterns of the community or travel of the American people, then there is going to be road work. We've all experienced it. We felt it in the delays and the detours and the dust. And on the one hand, we've wished for it to come, but when it's there, we are impatient for it to end. And then we wonder sometimes why this has to be. We ask ourselves, why did they do it this way? Why didn't they do it that way? We've all asked those questions. And why such a wide swath? You know, why such a wide path? Why is so much tore up? Can't they just stick the road through there without all this stuff? The tearing up and the filling in, the excavating and the tedious grading of the roadbed. We're amazed at the reshaping of the landscape and how things change radically. Millions of tons of earth are moved and shaped, and millions of tons of materials like asphalt and concrete and rebar and grass seed and straw and signs and paint and jackhammers and cranes and earth movers. And it also takes a lot of time. Highways don't just appear. No, part of a master plan. They are built. And there's a master plan, and then there's a broad route that's laid out. And then there's a site survey that kind of finalizes exactly where things will go and will decide which creeks are filled in or covered over with bridges and which mountains are cut down or tunneled through or what is leveled, what is filled in. And there's the excavation, there's the laying down of the roadbed, the grading, and then the surfacing with concrete or asphalt. We see it happening right now, right up the street, with Andrews University. Talk about a highway taking away the privacy and changing things. I mean, it's major. Andrews University will never again sit quietly off the beaten path. few hundred yards beyond the grass and the trees and a few residential homes. The people can drive back and forth. They just see a little sign, Andrews University, but not know anything about Andrews University, not even see it. But that's all changed now. Soon there will be a clean shot from the main drag to the heart of the campus. You can see it clearly now. It's all ripped open. Anybody can see it. Everybody knows. It's a road that goes to the campus, a campus that has been tucked away, quiet, unseen, and private for decades. Not everything is necessarily bad about this. Things undoubtedly will change, but those who plan for it think that this will be positive, that the university will become more accessible to the community. The university will be more welcoming to the community. That's good. That's positive. But what I want us to ponder for a few moments, I want us to think about the road work and how messy it is right now, how dirty it is right now. I want you to think about the property that had to be purchased for that road to be put through. I want you to think about the feelings and the emotions and the money and the time and the talking and the cajoling that went into purchasing all that property, tearing down those homes, moving people, and the fact that there are still a few holdout homes that the university would love to get their hands on. And the fact is that many have lost their privacy who were nicely tucked in a nice, quiet little community off campus and off the highway, but now the road just rips right through and exposes so very, very much. It all looks so ugly now. At some point, it'll be beautiful and functional and fulfill the dream of those who had that master plan. But right now, it's not very pretty. Right now, it's road work. And road work is never clean, it's never easy, and things are never the same once the road work has taken place. Now, you will remember last Sabbath when we began this series, A Highway Through, we learned how that when we become a Christian, when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, when we decide to follow Jesus, there becomes no such thing as a private life anymore. There is no such thing as a little world where you can go hide yourself in. No, because God will take the private life of His children, you and I, those who would follow Him, He would take the private life and He would run a highway right through that private life. A highway for God, for Himself on the one hand, and for a hurting, broken, lost world on the other hand. That's what we learned from Oswald Chalmers. He has it in his famous little devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. He says, God will drive a highway through. A highway through. We also learned that none of us can stand that highway unless we have identified with Jesus and His sufferings. If we would become useful, we learned last Sabbath, if we would become useful in the hands of Jesus, then we must allow Him to build that highway right through the middle of our lives, taking away all the privacy, taking away all the precious things that we might enjoy or hold for ourselves. Jesus will put up a sign when we give our lives to Him, and this will happen with Alyssa. She's given her life to Jesus, and Jesus is putting up a sign, road work ahead. As Alyssa, if you're serious, you will never be the same. I have access to your life now. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Now, the question that I raised this morning, all right, as we're moving towards this passage that was read, the question I ask, when we think about those road work signs in front of us, our hearts, our lives, our minds, it's inevitable that we ask the question, where is that road going to go? Where will it start and where will it end? And how much will it tear up in the process of being laid down in my life? Are you with me? What will it cost me to allow Jesus to construct a highway through my life? What will I have to give up? What will I have to give? What will I lose if I allow Jesus full access to the property of my soul to run that highway for Himself and a lost world right straight through smack dab who I am? And how about the excavation and the grading? Where will the excavating take place in my life and in my heart? And what beautiful, rich soil of my values and my priorities and habits will be disturbed when Jesus puts His road sign up and says, road work ahead? What kind of foundation is needing to be laid in my life? And what kind of jarring or life-changing experiences will I need in order to tear up and reshape the landscape of my life and my heart? Just like those big, huge, rumbling excavators come through and they take out huge chunks of dirt in one pass. What kind of jarring things will I need to experience in order for that road work, that highway to be built? Now, usually when you're driving along the highway and there's road work ahead, you find some indication of who's doing the work. You'll see a sign that's saying MDOT's doing it or some other company has subcontracted the job. And now I want us to look at the last verse of our text today. We're going to begin at the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning and spend a little bit of time in the middle. But we're going to begin at the end. Verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. Notice it says here, "For it is God who is at work," where? In you. All right? It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. All right? So it is God who is at work. When God puts up the sign, road work ahead, He's the one who's doing the road work. All right? And when He puts up that sign that says road work ahead, for this highway to be driven right through the center of our soul, the center of our lives, not only is He the one doing the work, but it has to do with His pleasure, His will, His desires, His plans for our life. Are you with me? All right? Now, God is at work, and the bottom line of His work is His good pleasure. And He works with us on two levels. According to this passage, He works with us on the level of willing and doing. All right? He works in us both to will and to do. So He works on the level of willing and doing. He works on the level of motives and actions, on the level of character and conduct, on the level of values and behavior, on the level of desires and performance. God is interested in both aspects of our lives. Who we are deep down inside, why we are doing what we're doing, and actually what it is that we are doing. All right? And the bottom line has to do with the will. What we want for ourselves and what God wants for His work and what God wants for people in need around us. What we do and what God would have us do. And this can get pretty sticky. All right? Pretty nitty gritty. It's easy for a community to say, oh yeah, we'd like to have a highway through here. But when that highway infringes on your property and takes away half of your front yard, then suddenly, no, maybe the highway should be over there. But when God begins His work of constructing that throughway so that we can be useful in His hands to serve Him and serve this world, it can get pretty nitty-gritty. Because it can deal with absolutely every aspect of our lives. And we don't know what they are until the excavation begins. And as it was implied in the children's story, you can excavate things that have been buried for a while, and you'd be just as happy that they were there, that they would stay underground. And in the excavation process, things could be reshaped and life would be radically changed. We learned about that last Sabbath. But God worked on these two levels, the level of the will and the level of doing. Last Sabbath we learned how Ellen White asserts that the will of man is aggressive. And the will of man seeks to bend everything and shape everything into its own direction. That's a reality. And that's why when Jesus would run a highway through our lives, the first place He begins is with our will. A roadwork sign, roadwork ahead, you can be sure. When the roadwork ahead sign is placed in your life, when you come out of the waters of baptism, you give your life to Jesus Christ, that roadwork sign, the place where that excavation begins, is on the level of the will. What we want versus what God wants. And how much are we willing to bend our will to the will of God? Now, the kind of roadwork that God would have us do is revealed in the life of His Son Jesus. Now I want us to go to the first part of this passage, all right? Philippians 2, beginning with verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. The road work that God would do in our lives is mirrored, it's revealed in the life of Jesus Christ. And let's see how it was with Jesus. It says, have this attitude, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it begins with attitude. It begins with a mind frame. It begins with a sense of self in terms of where we are in relationship to what God wants to do. That's where it all begins. All right? And it says, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know what Paul is telling us here? In these very important, very rich verses, passages. He says, even though Jesus was equal to God, even though he was equal to the Father, he submitted to the Father's will. Wow. Now we learned that last Sabbath. Jesus saying in John chapter 5, verse 30, I do nothing of my own initiative. I do not seek my will, but the will of him who sent me. Now if Jesus would say, I don't do anything of my own initiative, how is it that we would do things on our initiative? I can do nothing of my own initiative. I seek the Father's will. There is a highway running right straight through me, Jesus says. Not my will, but my Father's will. I want us to note what this road work includes for Jesus. It tells us here that though he was equal with God, he did not hold on to that equality. What is that saying? Basically saying that Jesus was not grasping on to his rights and to his privileges. You see, Jesus had all kinds of rights as Creator God, as equal with the Father, as being eternal, as being there worshipped by angels and all the living creatures and so forth that Scripture gives us the picture of. Jesus had all kinds of rights and privileges, but it begins, the attitude begins with the sense of letting go of rights and privileges. You see, when the roadwork sign goes up, the first thing that comes to our mind are the things that we have rights to. I have a right to. Because I'm a free moral agent. That's my right. And our contemporary society pushes our rights. And there's nothing wrong with inalienable rights and protecting those rights and nurturing those rights. But when God comes to us on the level of our rights and we see what Jesus did, Jesus surrenders His rights. He does not grasp onto those rights. He does not hold on to those rights. The Apostle Paul said, you know, as Christians, we have all kinds of rights. Something might be right. It might be all right for me to do, but if I do it, it may not be nurturing or edifying or a good example for someone else. I can do it, but it may not be a blessing to someone else. So Jesus surrendered, though. He did not grasp. And then it tells us here in our passage that Jesus emptied Himself. He emptied Himself. Now we live in a world that says, fill yourself. We live in a world that says, hold on to yourself. Be all that you can be. Bring out everything that's in you. We live in a world that says, hold on to power because that's the way to go. We learned last Sabbath that Jesus says surrender is the way to go. Submission, humility is the way to go. And Jesus, again, in this passage, gives us that example of emptying Himself. Emptying Himself before His Father and His Father's will, and emptying Himself before you and I and our needs and our lostness and the brokenness in our lives. That's what Jesus emptied Himself before. He emptied Himself before you and I. The text goes on to say that Jesus became something radically different from what He was. Now think with me. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The majestic, exalted God of heaven. And He decides, I'm not going to hold on to my rights and my privileges. I'm going to empty myself and I'm going to become something radically different than what I am. And that's what usually happens when we allow Jesus to Father to build that highway through our lives. We become radically different than what we are. But Jesus gives the attitude. Jesus gives the frame of mind of letting go of personal rights, of emptying self before God and surrender, and allowing oneself to be transformed into something radically different than what one might want to be or what one is. Becoming a man was humbling, to say the least, but taking the nature of a servant was more humbling. You see, Jesus could have taken on humanity, which would have been a radical change from being God in heaven. Now He's down here in human form. Well, He could have come down as a king. He could have had all the blessings and all the rights and privileges of the big shakers and the movers of society. But no, Jesus bypasses that. And He comes down. He becomes radically different than what He was. And He goes to the lowest level of that radical difference. That's what Jesus does. He takes the nature of a servant, and that's humbling. But Christ went still further. He humbled Himself to the extent of being willing to die like a common criminal on a cross. And dying on a cross, crucifixion, was the most degrading kind of execution in the first century. And so we read that Jesus made Himself nothing in order to do the Father's will. Made Himself nothing in order to do the Father's will. Made Himself nothing in order to save the likes of you and I. Made Himself nothing in order to redeem us and be our Savior. And so Jesus sets the pace. He lets the road be built through Him any way that is necessary in the hands of the Father for the Father's will to be fully done in His life, and the people that He is now connecting with to save can indeed be saved from their sins and have hope and joy of eternal life, as we read about in our promise earlier today. God's only desire is that our hope, that our joy be full as God fully does His thing in our life. God doesn't come through with the excavator just to tear up and create chaos and dust and delays and hurt and harm. No, God comes through and He builds that highway for our ultimate joy and the salvation of others around us. Amen? This is what we see happening. And obviously the opposite is what is being encouraged in our world. To make ourselves something rather than empty ourselves. To hold on to power rather than to release our power. To the hands of a God who knows more about us and more about life than what we would imagine. And so we find Jesus saying to the Father, whatever needs to happen, whatever route you want to run this highway through the property of my soul, you have full access to my soul. Whatever excavation I need, let it happen. Remove things, bring in things, reshape, whatever. That's what we see happening with Jesus. And so, John writes of the highway through Jesus. Did you know that John writes of a highway? John 1, verse 51. You remember that verse? John 1, 51. Jesus saying, heaven is open, and angels are ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You see, Jesus becomes the connector between heaven and earth. His divine side enables Him to connect with God the Father. His human side enables Him to connect with broken, lost, hurting souls like you and I. And He connects them. And He's the connector. And all the traffic of heaven goes up and down on the person of Jesus. All the blessings and all the prayers go back and forth on the soul, on the heart of our great Savior. And that cross, the outlifted arms on the cross speak of the welcoming of God to every one of us. But the vertical part shows the connection of heaven and earth. That is the highway. The will of the Father. The needs of a broken, lost world. And the same must happen in our sphere, our little sphere, our little sphere of influence in our own lives. God would run a highway through us to connect the divine and the broken. And we become that channel. But road work must be done for that to happen. And so back in verse 5, let this mind be in you. Have the mind of Jesus. Be like Jesus. Fully surrendered to the Father. Fully surrendered to the broken world around you. You know what Ellen White says in Desire of Ages 668? I memorized this when I was a teenager, and it has haunted my imagination ever since. She says, all true obedience comes from the heart. That's why the road work begins with the heart. All true obedience comes from the heart. It was heart work with Christ. I like that. You see, Jesus did not experience anything that we are not called to experience. In our sphere, on our level. Jesus had to do that heart work. He learned obedience, as it says in the book of Hebrews. It was a self-choice to let go prerogatives, rights, empty self, become radically different than what he had been, and go down lower, 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 and die. If we consent, we're told, He, referring to God, will so identify himself with our thoughts and our aims and so blend our hearts and our minds into conformity with his will that when we obey him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to run the highway through, and he wants to do all that work in our soul. But he does not want us to regret that highway. He does not want us to be bitter about that highway. He does not want us to be angered and jaded against him because of that highway. He wants us to be open to that highway, to be glad for that highway, even though it has crushed, it has impinged on our lives in so many ways. As it says in Hebrews, oh, for the joy that was set before him as he endured the cross, as he experienced the shame, the joy that was set before him. He went through all those things. And when it is a value in our hearts to honor God with our lives and our lips and everything that we are, everything that we have, and it's a joy in our life to connect with the people around us to know that their salvation is important and then their needs are important to us, then the highway, although it may be inconvenient, the highway, though it might be painful, the highway is still desired by us. And the bottom line is that we must consent. Allow God to do His work. Allow God to be God in our lives. Now, following last Sabbath, my wife and I had an exchange with one of our sons, who became aware of this imagery of a highway through, and he came back to us. He said, yeah, there's a highway running right through our home, through your lives. And you know what? A little crack occurred in the middle of the highway, and I'm a weed that grew up in the middle of the crack, and I'm being driven over back and forth, run down all the time. There you have it. Not easy being in a pastor's home. Not easy being in a leader's home. It's not easy being in a Christian home when your parents have made decisions that you haven't made. And so we spoke to our son, yes, these are decisions that we made decades ago when we committed ourselves to the gospel ministry. As individual Christians, yes, we did, but then together, we said, Lord Jesus, build that highway. We made that decision, but our children did not make that decision. And they've been run over in the highway. Thank God that we can talk to them about allowing God to help them see that this is part of the highway He would build in their life. But the bottom line is there must be personal consent. This is not something that God will ride over us. It's something that we all must own individually in order for it to be joyful amidst the pressing reality of how difficult it is. And only Jesus knew fully how difficult it was. And so we find these words in Steps to Christ. And by the way, if you don't have anything to do on a Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock for 1 hour, we've been going through the book Steps to Christ so that we can learn more what it means to be surrendered to Jesus, so that we can talk to others about what it means to find Jesus and find their way to Jesus. But there in Steps to Christ, it says, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at your feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me, and let my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter, she goes on to write. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. And then here's the big word. Surrender. Surrender all your plans to Him, to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate as He makes Himself clear to you. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life, you see, your life into the hands of God. See, that's the bottom line. That's what this passage is talking about. This is what Jesus did. This is what we're being called to do. This is what the whole road sign is about. Giving our lives into the hands of God. And thus your life will be molded more and more like the life of Christ. Amen? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And then she goes on to say, you are to give all your heart, your will, and your service, and you are to take all. Don't just take part of what Jesus offers. Take it all. His blessings, His willingness to abide in your heart, His strength, His righteousness, His power, and you will find power to obey. Now, I found a fascinating website the other day. It's called the Goat's Path Expressway. Goat's Path Expressway is found in southeastern Pennsylvania. It was part of a road that was envisioned, a connector between Lancaster and New Holland in southeastern Pennsylvania. And construction began, and several overpasses were completed. But in the late 1970s, opposition arose to the entire project. And so the entire project was halted and ultimately abandoned. So now you have miles and miles of graded road, miles and miles of nice level stuff, and you have intersections, you have bridges built, you have some ramps already poured, and it's just sitting. You know why they call it the Goat's Path Expressway? It's because the farms that this road was running through still graze their cattle on these miles of nice, leveled pasture now. The road was not allowed to be built or never was finished because of opposition. And I guess that's how it is so often. God would run a highway through our lives for Himself and for the world. But when we get a glimpse of how the road will go and the excavating involved, we rise up in opposition. And what God starts out to do may only become a goat's path. The same is with maintenance. We may have allowed God to go ahead and build the road, but now He needs to widen it. Or it's become potholy because not too many people want to go up and down that road. And so ultimately it comes back around to our will and the Father's will, the will of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He wants to run that highway through your life. I don't know where the road will go, but He knows. Road work is never easy. The highway will take away your privacy. The very process of construction with your will and your values, your priorities, your very soul, it is not easy. But Jesus unequivocally says, you are not your own. I have bought you. And He invites you to surrender yourself fully to Him. No matter where it will lead, knowing that He will empower you and strengthen you to be who He is equipping you to be. And you will not only bring great glory to Him and touch the lives of others for Him, but you will experience joy in the process. Let this mind be in you. God is at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. May that so be. And as we sing our closing song today, Take My Life and Let It Be, I invite you to let this song, this hymn, be a time of personal recommitment to God, personal decision to let Him put the road sign up and do whatever He needs to do to run that highway through, so that you can be useful in the hands of Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.